The panel asking the questions today are Rosalie Murphy, the editor of The Devil Strip, Andrew Meyer, the news director of WKSU, and Ron Ponder, a freelance journalist and producer. All are members of the Press Club board. We've gone through these questions very carefully. Unlike some of our other events, most of our other events, where we are able to take questions from the audience, we are not able to do so tonight. We reached an agreement on time and on rotation of questions and other things that make that not possible. But we'll hope we hit the issues that you think are most important when it comes to safety and security and running the jail in Summit County. The order of the questions has been determined by a draw, and the League of Women Voters will be keeping time and alerting candidates 10 seconds before they're done. Each candidate will have 60 seconds to answer the question that is put to them directly, and each of the others will then have 30-second responses, and we'll rotate through. As we all know, it can be hard for local issues and candidates to get attention in a presidential election year. But these races and these issues are as crucially important as any in Summit County, in anyone's life here. And so we're happy to provide a forum for you to hear the candidates that will help inform your choice at the polls. The Summit County Sheriff's Office, now run by Sheriff Steve Berry, operates the county jail, oversees security at courts and at the Akron-Canton Airport, runs the Summit County Drug Unit, serves warrants, subpoenas and evictions, and patrols unincorporated areas of the county, and by contract, some incorporated areas such as Green. I'd now like to introduce you to the candidates in alphabetical order, which is not how they're seated here, which is set up by a draw at the beginning of this evening, so I'd ask that each candidate raise their hand as I talk about them. Candy Fothery is a captain in the Summit County Sheriff's Office and commander of the Fiscal and Civil Bureaus, which oversees a budget of $44 million. She was promoted to sergeant in 2003, lieutenant 4 years later, and captain in 2016. She graduated from the FBI National Academy for Executive Leadership, and she's a director with the Buckeye Sheriff's Association. Pat Hunt Sr. is retired as a Summit County Sheriff's Deputy. He retired last year. His 35 years with the department included assignments to 5 divisions, including as field supervisor of the Summit County Drug Unit and commander of the Glenwood Jail. He's the 3rd of 4 generations with the Sheriff's Department. John Peek Sr. spent more than 30 years with the Sheriff's Office, including as a patrol officer, sergeant, lieutenant, and captain, and detective bureau commander before retiring. A Navy vet, he received the Deputy of the Year Award and was twice named Supervisor of the Year and won a commendation for solving a cold case homicide. Dale A. Soltis retired as a major after 32 years with the Summit County Sheriff's Office, then became commander of the Stark County Jail for 3 years. He commanded the training facility and jail. He graduated from the University of Akron with a degree in education. And now moving on to the questions and the candidates themselves. Rosalie, would you begin?
Yes, are we on?
We are on. Okay. And this is a question, Mr. Soltis.
Mr. Soltis, one of the primary duties of the county sheriff in Ohio is to operate the county jail. Please describe your model for the best way to operate a county jail.
Well, the sheriff needs to be involved. The best model for, bring 7 years of experience to that as a jail commander. I know the jail, I'm an expert at jail operations. The jail commander, the sheriff, needs to get involved. He needs to know the operations. He needs to connect with the executive's office for budgetary needs, present the budget to them after close scrutiny, and prioritize the wants and needs of the sheriff's office. And then work the jail, identify those issues within the jail, dealing with mental health issues, medical issues, drug issues, all that, and bring that all together to produce a product that's good for the community and good and keep the inmates safe within the jail.
Response from Mr. Hunt?
The current staffing level is low. My plan would be to increase the staff by hiring candidates first, do all the screening that's necessary, let them start drawing the paycheck. You would have a wider range of candidates that would be able to earn their income while they're going through the academy. Increase the mental health staff that we have now with the closing of Fallsview Psychiatric Hospital that has turned to the community now. And I would increase the mental health staff to keep the assaults down and see what services we could offer them to speed up their release, to open up these spots. It's a fine line between the mental health criminally and not knowing at the time.
Okay. Lieutenant Father, or Captain Fothery?
I would hire a professional jail administrator, somebody who would keep us in compliance with state and local laws, make sure that we are not violating any inmate civil rights, and that we are keeping our staff trained at the highest quality that they are able to be trained at. I would address the mental health and opioid issue that we suffer from now in our community, in our jail, by working with our local medical and mental health board. And I would also change the way that we hire, train, and promote within our jail.
Okay. Mr. Peek?
One of the things that I'd like to do is, in the Summit County Sheriff's Office, we already have a great deal of individuals, supervisors that works in the Sheriff's Office that are more than qualified than to hire an outside individual to oversee the jail. We've got qualified people there. It's not going to cost us one more cent. Just going to put them in strategic places to get the job done. We already have heard from everybody up here on the panel of what needs to be done. Now it's all about getting my supervisors and my administrators to do the job. And as elected Summit County Sheriff, I will do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Myers, the next question is of Mr. Hunt.
The Summit Jail has a history of problems that led to suicides and the formation of an advisory task force. What has or should be done to incorporate best practices recommended locally, at the state level, and nationally at the Summit County Jail?
I was a former police officer for Falls View Psychiatric Hospital. The problem that you have in jails or anywhere else is if somebody is determined to commit suicide, they are going to find a way. Again, as I previously said, we need to find a mental health facilities, not necessarily incarceration. My plan would be to work with the courts and try to find facilities that we could house these mentally ill people to define the crimes versus the mental health. Unfortunately, they're charged, they come into the jail, and then it's a long process to either get them to a criminal insane facility in Columbus or just locally trying to house them. We need not to put them and keep them at the county jail. We need to get them processed and getting mental health treatment, not the incarceration.
Okay, Ms. Fothery?
In order to curb suicide in our jails, and that appearance, that's the question, I think we have to make sure that all of our staff working in the jails have all the tools that they need in order to accomplish their jobs. The best way to prevent suicide is to have your eyes on the individuals, be able to interact with them, and have a good idea as to where their mental state is at, because many times someone has an issue and they're not mentally ill, they just have an issue. And they're in the jail, which is not a nice place to be, and they need, they start thinking what they, you know, direction that they shouldn't be thinking. So I think that our staff have to make sure that they're making all their rounds, that we have plenty of staff to address the needs of our inmates in our jail. Thank you.
Mr. Peek.
1990, Summit County Jail was opened up. From 1990 to the year 2011, Summit County Jail had zero suicides. From then up till now, we've had six. And you have to ask yourself why. One of the issues is because of we don't have enough manpower in the Summit County Sheriff's Office. And I know that our sheriff has tried to get more employees, and it's not always easy. And we also need to get more mental health workers in there. So right now we've had, like I said, from 2011 until current, there's been six suicides. We need to do better. We need to work a lot harder in getting more employees there to watch the inmates. Double bunking has been also an issue. We've went from 400 plus inmates to almost 1,000, 900 and some. That's going to be the problem. We need to get more deputies in the corrections division to watch these inmates and also better mental health training. Thank you.
Mr. Soltis.
Okay, one of the things that, well, the jail went from 400 to 791 currently. What I would do is assess the inmate, every inmate at the door. We have a program in place right now that ties all those assessments directly to mental health. Someone presents themselves with a mental health illness or history, they are then referred directly to the mental health. I'd also utilize the cameras. We have 6 cameras at the Summit County Jail monitoring males and 3 on the female section. Utilize that. We can also work closer with North Coast Center as far as accepting mental health personnel. We also do look at training, train our personnel to see what they're looking for and train them annually as per minimum standards. Also, to increase the doctor call, we have 13 hours a week now. I'd like to increase that to 40 and include the weekends. Right now, Monday through Thursday is when the doctor works. I would cover the weekends as well. So increase counseling, increase doctor coverage, utilize the cameras, and increase supervision.
Okay, thank you. Ron Ponder, you've got the next question, beginning with Ms. Fothery.
Several programs or services at the jail, including the library, were discontinued and then brought back. Can you talk about the impact of those decisions, and are there any other activities that you'd like to restore or start?
The impact of the decision to remove all those services occurred because of financial reasons. Back in 2009, when we lost funding, we had to cut back, and so we lost staffing, and the services were discontinued at that time. The jail administration has requested that we return many of those services back. We've since opened our library, and we've hired additional inmate services workers. I'd like to restore all the services that we had as the budget allows. I'd like to restore NA, AA, and as well as restoring gym to both sides and addressing the inmates who need to get their GEDs and having our pastors come back in and spend a lot of time with our inmates. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Peek.
Well, you know, yes, it's been definitely, it's been a positive by bringing a lot of the programs back, you know what I mean? And I know for a fact from me working in the corrections division for 10 years and seeing the difference when an inmate has been in lockup versus an inmate going and actually playing basketball or reading a book or being able to pray or anything like that, it burns up a lot of energy on them. And not only that, but it gives a deputy an opportunity to have a little bit of a break himself. The inmates not being so agitated because they actually were able to do some positive things, and then the deputy actually being able to relax himself. So it's something that I would continue to look at. It's something that I would definitely work on as far as getting the inmates out of lockup. That is something that I would do if I'm like the Summit County Sheriff and keep that going on with as the Jail Advisory Commission has done.
Okay, Mr. Soltis.
One of my previous jobs with the Summit County Sheriff's Office was the sergeant in charge of inmate programming prior to the cuts in 2009. I know the importance of having those programs. I've been there, I ran those programs, I'm sure they ran efficiently, effectively. Those include library, NA, AA. What I would like to introduce is inmate work program, which includes garden program where the inmates grow garden produce and donate to a local food bank. I did that at Stark County. I also looked at, we got a surplus sewing machine from the military when I was the jail commander. I would like to take a look at that again. I sent troops away or people away to look at how to develop a program work industry in which you make mattresses and uniforms without impacting the local industry. I would also increase chapel service, work hand in hand with veteran groups and churches to reintroduce those things. Also discovered that GED can now be done over the internet. Work hand in hand with local schools, make sure that program is offered. Those are some of the things that I would like to introduce and build on what's being built right now with the library and the gym.
Okay, and Mr. Hunt.
In 1990, when we opened, we did not have that double bunking. To increase the population of the jail, we couldn't build up. We started double bunking. To 2009, we went through the layoffs, had to do more with less. So I think if we increased, and I have a plan to increase the staff, that would cut down on the stress of the inmate being in lockup times. Have the visitation times where they can see with their family, and back in the gymnasium where they can burn off some of this energy where they're less likely to have assaults on staff and inmates. I think that can be done with the increase of the staff to be able to open up these programs, have more deputies available to watch the inmates during these open times. And I think that would reduce the stress of the inmate. It would cause less fights and arguments within their roommates.
Okay. The next question comes back to you, Rosalie, and to you, Mr. Peek.
Parts of the Summit County Jail have been closed because of those budget and deputy shortages. But Summit County recently announced that the jail is to undergo about $10 million worth of capital improvements. What would you like to do with the jail itself, the physical space, to make it more conducive for rehabilitation? And what would you do to restore full use of the jail space and staffing?
From what I understand, and from what I understand, that it's not that there's space available in the jail or anything like that. From what I understand, capital improvements is going to be to repair the roof, AC, heating, plumbing in each and every cell, some of the desks and tables and things like that. But if there are any extra rooms that's available down there in the Summit County Sheriff's Office, I'm quite sure that they'd be willing to put a bed in there because we're that short. I mean, you know, because we need the space for inmates. But I would allow my chief to handle that. I mean, you know, as sheriff, you know, I would be an administrator. I'd be over on most of the time. I would think that if working as an administrator and allow my chief to make some positive decisions as far as how he would handle some things over there in Corrections Division. You know, real quick, I know that myself, all right, I'm running out of time.
We'll be back. I don't think we're leaving the jail.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Soltis, could you give your response?
Yeah, with $10 million, what I would like to do is at one time I had a plan to separate the classrooms within each housing unit so that more meetings could be done with parole, probation, mental health, medical, so it would not contradict each other and the traffic flow would be better. I'd also look at expanding to potentially have an in-house treatment center like we did down Stark County. I also know that the roof needs repaired. I know $10 million is going to cut, part of that's going to be for the roof. Also, like an inmate tracking system, so we know the exact spots where the inmates are for liability purposes, and also to possibly look at expanding the CCTV to provide more coverage and more court for arraignments and court hearings and parole hearings and things of that nature. So with that money, what I would like to do is take a look at all that and be more efficient and effective.
Mr. Hunt?
Again, the jail opened in 1990. It's 30 years, so some of it has deteriorated. I mean, you have to come in and do some cosmetic updates. We're not going to get any more space to add on to that jail. There's just needs repair. There's a lot of things that showers, the roof. I think the biggest thing is trying to increase the staff, to open up the programs, to have the visitation, the gymnasium, the library. I would utilize that money to try to keep these programs going and add to them. The stress of the inmate being locked up now with a roommate, causes a lot of problems. So I think with just using the money that we have to install some programming, open up the visitation for family members, would be best money spent.
Ms. Fothery.
The $10 million that is going to the jail is actually for renovations of the jail itself. The heating and air conditioning has been failing for quite a while, and the roof is having some significant issues. So that money actually has already been earmarked for actual physical repair of the jail itself. The jail was built in 1990, and so it's beginning to deteriorate. It's a 24-hour facility filled with a tremendous amount of people that come in and out every year. So it's not that the sheriff is going to have an opportunity to make a decision as to what's going to happen with that money. That money has already been earmarked to repair the heating and air conditioning and the roof. Now, if I had additional money, we need to address all of our problems. We're having problems with our doors and problems with plumbing. We're having backups within the jail with our sewer system. So there are a lot of other areas that part of the physical plants that need repaired.
Okay. Next question goes to Mr. Soltis. Mr. Meyer.
Ohio's been trying to implement criminal justice reforms that keep lower-level offenders in local jails. What's your reaction to that, and why?
And I've dealt with that for past, it became law last July, in which the state no longer accepted nonviolent felons, which increases the, and divert some of those fundings for that purpose for programming. On the surface, that's a good idea. On the surface, if that works, that's great. Unfortunately, what we have discovered that it increases the jail population, because once those offenders fail the treatment programs, they are reverted back to their sentence, which is not the state prison, but the local facilities. With that law, with the drug laws coming, our populations across the state, the jail populations are going up. There's got to be a better solution that increases our population because of what has happened at the state level, and they're diverting the funding from the state away from the local facilities.
Mr. Hunt, your follow-up?
Again, I retired from the Summit County Drug Unit. You have low-level felonies that you can actually write a summons to appear. I would want to keep that jail space for more violent offenders. We have an awful lot of low-level felonies that sit there going through the system before they're able to make bond. If we could eliminate the booking process, just giving them the summons to appear, that would alleviate some of that crowding that we have at the jail. Again, with the mental health, we have a lot of mental health that come in that there's just a dumping ground for us. There's no other place to take them. They charge them, and then they sit there and go through the system until we can figure out what to do with them. So I would like to work with the court systems to get them processed and out.
Okay, Ms. Fothery.
Criminal justice reform, especially in the state of Ohio, with the prisons not taking some of the low-level offenders. They place them back into the community and into the responsibility of our sheriff's office, as well as our community corrections. With addressing those needs, many of those people shouldn't be in our jail, but they end up back in our jail because they do reoffend or they break their probation. So we need to work more with Oriana House to get them put into there and have other rehabilitation centers available for them in Summit County, not the jail.
Okay, and Mr. Peek?
Yes, criminal justice reform, I kind of spoke on that briefly a little bit ago, and I would like to work with county organizations, city organizations to put together a program in lieu of sentencing that they would be put into a program that once they finish this program, the program would be to teach them how to do go to an interview, the proper clothes to wear to an interview, things like that. once they finish that, in lieu of them actually being sentenced to the county, they would, their sentence would be dismissed. And at the same time, that would reduce recidivism throughout our community and lower the jail population.
Okay. Mr. Ponder, you have the next question, and it begins with Mr. Hunt.
Yes. If you could, please, define what you consider the appropriate relationship between the Summit County Correction System and private contractors like Oriana House.
I'm sorry you were broke up and that I only heard half that question.
Yes, me too.
Okay, I'll read the whole thing again. Define what you would consider the appropriate relationship between the Summit County Correction System.
You're going to need to yell.
I'll yell at you.
No, yell.
Define what you consider the appropriate relationship between the Summit County Correction System and private contractors like Oriana House.
What is our relationship with them? Is that
define, I got the microphone and the questions. Would you define what you consider the appropriate relationship between the Summit County Correction System and private contractors, including Oriana House?
Well, that is another way of alleviating some of the crowding. I was the jail commander at the Oriana House, and they offered a host of services where we could interview the people. It was low-level felonies that could go over there. It left open beds for us at the jail, and they could do the pre-release. There's a lot of working parts with the private contractors to get the inmates processed and find appropriate housing other than keeping them at the county jail. So we would continue that relationship with the private sectors to find a way to take some of the inmates away from the county jail to keep that population manageable.
Okay, Ms. Fothery?
I believe that the relationship that the sheriff has with Oriana House and other private entities is a positive relationship. We currently enjoy that relationship. As sheriff, I would continue a positive relationship with Oriana House and other private industries. The sheriff doesn't choose who goes to those facilities. That's a determination that's done by our judges. But the relationship that I would have with those entities is positive, just as the positive relationship that we currently enjoy.
Okay, Mr. Peake.
I sit up here and I think about, could you imagine what the Summit County Sheriff's Office Corrections Division would be if we didn't have them? I mean, it's something that is definitely needed. And I know that the Summit County Sheriff supports 100% the private sector corrections, temporarily holding the inmates and housing the inmates, because the Summit County Sheriff's Office, unfortunately, no longer can hold all of the inmates. So I know that I would definitely work with the private sector. I know that our current sheriff works with the private sector, and the private sector and the Summit County Sheriff's Office work hand in hand to do anything that we can to keep the people, unfortunate people off the street that may be committing crimes.
Okay, and Mr. Soltis.
I think we work hand in hand. Summit County has a very robust system of treatment centers within the community, and Oriana is one of those. We had worked with Oriana House at Glenwood Jail, which I was the commander of, being the commander of the main jail. That was an offshoot of that. I utilized the recent law changes a few years ago to house nonviolent felons at that location. I'm going to look into that, what happened to that relationship, why we vacated, and we would house low-level individuals there. The law change was important. We continue to work with agencies like SPAW and other private entities to make the community a better place, to provide the treatment centers and treatment to those individuals that can benefit from it. And if we can prevent one person from being a victim in our society, then the program is well worth it. So my goal is to look at that whole system and continue developing relationships.
Okay. Rosalie, you've got the next question, and this goes first to Ms. Fothery.
Summit County has been one of only two in Ohio that uses deputies rather than corrections officers to staff its jail. Do you think Summit County should consider using corrections officers to staff its jails?
My personal opinion, and I've already given this earlier, is I would prefer that we not use corrections officers. There's a lot of benefits to having deputies in our jail. One of them is that they are held at a higher standard, they're trained at a higher standard, and after a few years, corrections officers end up making the same amount of money that a deputy does, and that's pretty much national. I'm not opposed to looking at other ways of improving our budget with our deputies in the jail, but I would prefer not to use corrections officers. I think that we enjoy the opportunity to shut our jail down and send our deputies out to be the backup for our communities when we have major issues that occur out there. And when they occur, you need to have more officers, and there are not enough of them in the county. Thank you.
Mr. Peek.
Yes. As I said earlier today, you know, I am, if you want to say old school, and I do believe in having law enforcement officers in our corrections division. I enjoy the thought of if we have an autistic child, I can sit down to Summit County Jail and send out law enforcement officers to go look for that individual. If we have a mass casualty at a school, I can send out law enforcement officers and not wait on another department to send somebody down there to help me out. So do I support 100% of having law enforcement officers and deputies in the jail? Absolutely. Will I possibly, if it was brought up, would I consider it? I would look into it because there are some pros and cons to having corrections officers. However, the finances is not the answer to it. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Soltis.
I've had the experience of working at Stark County who has both correction and deputies working in the housing areas. I'm for deputies only. I have, I echo what John said, reference to the flexibility and the response to the community emergencies when needed. They're additionally trained, as was mentioned. It's not old school, new school, it's the right thing to do. I know that working with the executive's office, they've approved a budget of 9. We have 6 more coming. That shows me that the executive's office is in conjunction with the current sheriff saying that we want deputies working our jails so that we can do cross-training, we can offer mobility, and we can have a better overall system of response to our community. So I am in favor for as deputies, and I won't budge from that platform.
Okay, Mr. Hunt.
I'm not in favor of corrections officers. We have a hard time filling open in positions because, unlike other police departments, we run a county jail. So anytime a posting would come up, patrol division, detective bureau, court services, they put in a bid system and they usually are taken from the jail to bid out, and that leaves an opening. If we had and hired corrections officers, they're not police officers, they would be unable to bid on those positions. And each and every time we had a retirement, we would then have to post the job and try to look for outside help. Until we could fill that spot and have to do a background check on every candidate, those jobs just wouldn't get filled. So I think the 86 out of 88 counties that use corrections officers, the department that's our size, over 300 men, women, just wouldn't work.
Okay. Mr. Ponder, you have the next question, and Mr. Soltis, you have the first answer.
What preparations should be made at the jail to deal with public health emergencies?
All right. First of all, we need to train our officers. We need to train, for instance, the coronavirus is a perfect example. We need to, in place right now, I know the current medical provider has introduced a screening system at the current jail in which we identify those concerns. We also need to take a look at, if that happens, have a set of plans which would involve the public health, Summit County Public Health. I know for a fact that they've been in conjunction with that. A couple years ago when I was jail commander, I worked close hand in hand with the Summit County Health Board in preparation for the epidemic at that time. So with that being said, we need to train. We need to be in place right now to have those concerns addressed, such as making sure that individuals have the ability to wash their hands, to have the mask, to have the gloves, do the bloodborne and airborne precautions, that the inmates are also given the opportunity to be sanitized, have their hands and everything sanitized, as well as surfaces. So we need to do those programs.
Okay, Mr. Hunt?
We have policies and procedures for assisting other departments. We treat everybody with a bloodborne disease. We go out on many calls to assist the communities, and I would continue that training. That's the big thing within our department, is training with the Sheriff's Department, and we have gone out in other communities to assist them, and I would continue that training as we have done in the past, to be ready to assist in this community, whether it's a lost child, whether it's a storm, and we have to go out and secure the homes. We have many instances where we've helped the city police when there's been natural disasters or crashes. We go out and it's all training, and I would like to continue to be able to offer the citizens of Summit County the services of the Sheriff's Department when other departments need the help. Thank you.
Ms. Fothery?
Well, currently the Summit County Sheriff's Office has a plan for a pandemic should we have one in our jail. We work with the public health and with the county, and they advise us as to what services we're going to need. Now, if you're talking about the coronavirus, one of the things that we'll be doing is changing the way that some of the questions that we ask at intake, making certain that our inmates have not traveled outside of the country. They already are compromised as when they come in as it stands. So we've just been increasing the training for our staff, as well as cleaning our facility, providing additional soap and opportunities for our inmates to wash their hands. We will work with the public health and do exactly what it is that they tell us to do.
Okay, and Mr. Peek.
Basically, continue training for emergency medical assistance. Under Sheriff Drew Alexander, I was assigned as an emergency management, and worked with emergency management. We were one of the only teams in the state of Ohio that had a level three team. I had over 500 hours, documented hours, of working with emergency management. Went to Homeland Security and worked for 40 hours with a lot of elected officials throughout our county. We sat up there and we had pandemic flu, coronavirus. We had practice sessions going on from county to county to county. So I have experience, well over 500 documented hours of experience. And so what I would like to do would give to the deputies is give the deputies what we already have in the Summit County Sheriff's Office is a great training center and continue to give them awesome training.
Okay, and now I'll admit to you all, I'm a terrible traffic cop and I have trouble counting to nine, so I've taken things out of order. We'll get it back in order. Andrew, this is your question and it will be coming right to you, Mr. Peek.
Okay.
Describe the mental health care you think would be optimum for the jail.
Well, you know what, it's great. You know, I mean, when I worked in our corrections division, I had an opportunity of working on our mental health unit. And part of that was I was asked by our supervisors, did I want to work on the mental health unit? Because to me, that makes a difference. You have a little bit more compassion, you have a little bit more control, and you want to work there. And so not only that, but I think that a deputy, not just only CIT training, but they should have also more mental health training offered to them. And if I'm elected sheriff, I will definitely offer more mental health training and also find out if, in fact, that they want to actually work there. Because I know, to me, I wanted to work, and I had no problem working, and I had a compassion for people that may be a little bit less fortunate than I.
Mr. Soltis?
Well, what I would like to do is, first of all, get the sheriff's office. I've been gone for 3 years, but when I was there, we were involved with the Stepping Up program, which dealt with direct intervention with those with mental illnesses and a plan of action that worked with the community, with all the courts, and with all the other agencies and the treatment centers. What I also like to do, I know for a fact that they are doing an assessment at the window of the intake area, and what I'd like to continue is that direct connection with the mental health. I mentioned earlier that I would like to increase the doctor's call from as appearances from 13 hours to 40 hours to cover weekends. And what I also like to do is have a handoff to our community providers such as SPA or other mental health facilities in the community.
Mr. Hunt.
I'd like to increase the mental health hours to have them more readily available and the teaching of the deputy to recognize an inmate is going through a mental health crisis before there's an explosion of that inmate. Secondly, I like, again, I've said it before, is trying to work with the court system to get an alternate housing for these mentally ill inmates that we have. There's just no reason that some of these inmates are at our jail other than there's just no other place to put them. And I would definitely like to work with the community and the court system to find a place where we could still keep them incarcerated, but not at that jail.
Okay, Ms. Fothery?
All of our deputies need to be CIT trained. All of the deputies that work in the jail that work on the mental health inmates are not just on the mental health unit. Our jail is peppered with them all through. Nationally, they say that one-third of all inmates in county jails suffer from some form of mental illness. So every deputy and employee in the jail needs to be CIT trained. We do need to work with our mental health unit, our doctors and nurses that are in the jail, to start addressing the inmates that specifically are on the mental health unit. They are our most vulnerable, and being incarcerated makes it worse. So we need to have more CIT training.
Okay. This next question goes to Mr. Hunt and from Rosalie Murphy.
What alternatives to jail or prison do you think are most effective, and how would the sheriff's office best operate in conjunction with those?
We would, working with the private contractors to go in and evaluate these inmates to see where the low risk of transferring them out of the jail, working with PEZ, going in and do their mental health evaluation, and trying to alleviate that overcrowding by trying to find alternate housing for this inmate. I think part of what we need to do is go through the court system and try to speed up the process of getting the inmate released out on bond and get them through the court systems a little quicker.
All right, Ms. Pothery?
Alternatives to the jail are in the hands of our judges. They are the ones that place them in our jail to begin with, other than the initiating officer who makes the arrest. Once the judge makes a decision as to where they're going to go, I think that the sheriff's office currently works very well with those alternative sentencing programs. We have to, as law enforcement officers, we've got to do more summonsing. We have to take less people to jail. The only ones that should be there truly should be the violent ones, the ones that are a threat to themselves and to others. So I think that we just have to work with the judges and be part of that decision-making process in a collaborative effort.
Mr. Peake.
It goes right back to criminal justice reform, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about trying to get low-level, nonviolent inmates into programs instead in lieu of actual sentencing, working with the courts to make sure that that kind of thing happens, possibly probation, possibly some things like that. But that is what I would do. I would definitely spearhead working with our court system to see if we can't get the inmates and people in the community that have broken laws into some kind of a program instead of going to being sentenced at a county jail, which is already overcrowded.
And Mr. Soltis.
I see some alternatives to prison or jail. They are correct. This comes from the courts. Courts order the treatment, and what I would do is encourage working with community corrections based with Orana House, maybe deferring or referring some to that location. Also, active monitoring with bracelets 24/7, or depending upon the case by case, it could be just a monitoring once they separate from that monitor. We also, you know, increase the probation, increase programming, and take a look at the whole program of rehabilitation within the criminal justice system.
Okay. This next question is from Andrew Meyer to Ms. Fothery.
There is currently a shortage of deputies aggravated by retirements. What kind of recruitment and training efforts should be funded and emphasized to not only fill the openings, but to ensure a workforce that is truly reflective of the area's population?
Well, I think that we have to reach out to Job and Family Services. Currently, Job and Family Services is offering a scholarship to help to pay for training to become a deputy. I think we also have to reach out into the communities, the Black, Hispanic, and new citizens. Going to the International Institute, I've already spoke with one individual in the Nepali community that has applied for that scholarship and intends to go through our police academy and become a deputy sheriff. I think also, having been a single parent struggling when I became a deputy, I think we have to reach out to more single parents. There is an opportunity for men and women to enjoy the safety and security of the jail until after their children are raised. And I think we have to offer training back in-house again. That's part of the problem that we have now. They have to pay for training. We need to bring it back into the sheriff's office.
Mr. Peek?
Well, I'd like to think that one of the things that has been put into place is the way that they are trying to go about hiring not only just people off the street, but qualified people. And it's not always easy. So I would continue to do what they're doing. I know that there's a lot of people that were being missed out in the past because the academy was so expensive, $6,000. Who's got $6,000 that lives in the inner city? So now they've opened up programs with the county executive's office that's going to help pay for it. So now we may be able to get qualified people. I continue to work with the county executive's office and Job and Family Services to make sure that that is done.
Mr. Soltis.
32 people hired last year with the sheriff's office. 50% female, 32% Black American, African. I think Sheriff Barry is doing a good job leaning towards diversity. We've been doing that for 7 years that I'm aware of. It's a nationwide issue getting qualified personnel. So what you gotta do is look at operational change. It's a family, become a family, make people realize it's family driven. Look at 12-hour shifts, which they've done. Look at uniform adjustments, BDUs. Look at allowing beard growth. We have to adjust to what we are dealing with in our society. Look at offering free academy as when I went through. Contact veterans, contact, run intern programs, hold open houses. We have to recruit. Thank you.
Mr. Hunt.
I have said this before. My plan, the executive office is doing a great job to assist the Sheriff's Department of this shortage. I would like to take that a step further. They're currently offering scholarships to some income families, depending on the income. Unlike any other police department, we run a jail that's less enticing to the young deputy once he hits the street and running. My plan is to hire that deputy first, do all the background checks, psychological, drug testing, hire them, let them start drawing a paycheck. That's gonna open the pool up to people that normally could not come in and work and go pay for that academy that have to have a secondary job. This way, they're drawing a paycheck and we're gonna get a better group of people that'll apply and we'll fill those gaps.
All right. Ron Ponder, your next question is for Mr. Peek.
whatever the final amount of the settlements, Summit County is going to be getting millions of dollars to deal with the aftermath of the opiate crisis. What should the priorities of the Sheriff's Department be for that money?
What should the priorities be? I know one of the things that I know that the sheriff and I would like to see if, as they come in, we need to have better education for the inmates as they're coming in, and treatment programs for the people that are addicted to the drugs. And part of that also should go to the investigations of taking the people off of the street that's selling that crap. You know what I mean? You know, that's one thing that needs to be done. People that are dying from drugs, as a matter of fact, in the last, this so far this year, is 35 people that have died of opioid abuse. In the last 5 years, it's over 1,100, just in Summit County alone. Just in Summit County alone.
Okay, sorry. The other thing, I'm short. Okay, Mr. Soltis, your response?
What I would do with that income is provide more staffing, naturally. Also, continue intervention with our officer and the treatment program people and medical people. I'd increase program at the jail. I'd increase enforcement. I'd increase training and programs at the jail and outside support for those programs that prevent victimization of others. And also provide in-house treatment, possibly an expansion of our current facility.
Mr. Hunt.
Well, I think Eileen Shapiro from the judge's office did a great job negotiating the settlement, but it's not the end all. I said before, I retired from Summit County Drug Unit. This is a disease. I would like to see some of that money going for the treatment of the person addicted to the opiates, not incarceration. They do their time, you're still going to have the same problem. You need to treat the disease. So I would like to work with the executive office to come up with some plan for treatment versus incarceration. I think that's a win-win for the inmate and the population at that jail.
Ms. Feldery?
As everyone else has said, we need to have more treatment programs, both in the jail and on the streets. The opioid epidemic didn't happen overnight. It affects more than just the individual who is addicted. It also affects the families. So we need to have a coalition of people who help to support the families as well as the individuals who have the addiction. Our jail is one of the first places to start because that's where they end up coming into. So we have to give them effective treatment in the jail, and we also have to help to identify who those pushers are in the streets. So we've got to work more with our task forces and our law enforcement agencies.
Okay. Rosalie Murphy, the next question is for Mr. Soltis.
Ohio has established a number of task forces in recent years to study best practices in policing on issues including recruitment and training, community policing, body cameras, mental health treatment, and pursuit policies. What best practices have been or should be incorporated into the Summit County Sheriff's Department?
Well, I think some of the best practices would be the accountability of cameras, officers wearing cameras. That gives you another part of support when you're dealing with issues. Also, you know, we also look at a multitude of things, initiatives through the state level. So what that means essentially is you got to be hand in hand with your community, identify what is working, build on what's not working, and make it better. And you do that through various task forces, whether it's human trafficking, increasing task forces with that, which we've done, and also taking a look at other things like enforcement of drugs and those type of task forces.
Mr. Hunt.
The sheriff has a good history with programming, training. The only thing I see that we're lacking at this time is the body camera and the storage of the cameras. My plan would be to hire a grant writer to find state, federal money that would pay for these body cameras that all patrol divisions would be able to wear the body cameras and have money to pay for the storage. And I hope to do that by a grant writer. The we have pursuit policies. We have a policy for just about everything. And we've been successful. It's just a money issue for the cameras.
Okay, Ms. Fothery.
The Summit County Sheriff's Office is currently undergoing review of all of our policies and procedures. They've been being rewritten and updated for the last couple of years. Sheriff Berry made this a priority just a couple years ago, so he has someone that's currently doing that as far as policy and procedure is concerned. Many times I'm asked to reach out to other sheriffs in the state and ask what their policies, procedures, and best practices are. We receive information from not only the Buckeye State Sheriff's Association, the legislature, but also the National Sheriff's Association that helps us to make all of our policies and procedures more cohesive and as far as from one sheriff's office to another. So I think we're doing a very good job currently.
Okay. I can actually see the sheets now, and I can I can be tough. Mr. Peek.
I think that one of the things that's really important, I'm going to say he's got the red one up for me already. One of the things that's most important to me is body cameras. As Summit County Sheriff would be body cameras. Not only is it protecting the deputies, because everything that I do and everything that I enforce, I'm going to make sure that if you're right, deputies, I got your back 100%, and I'll have it on camera. Not only that, it's going to also give the suspect evidence if a person is wrong. So it's a twofold, but it's definitely something that needs to be done as body cameras. Where the problem is getting the money for the body cameras. I've already talked to a number of law enforcement agencies in the county, and they also feel as if the Summit County Sheriff's Office should have body cameras.
Okay. Our next question goes to Mr. Hunt from Mr. Meyer.
What community policing practices do you think are most useful for and adaptable to the Sheriff's Department, and can you be specific, please?
Probably working into the community as far as the resource officers and working in the body of waters in the Portage Lakes to maintain safety. We have a lot of traffic boaters, and I think we do a very good job of the community policing in the waters and in the community as a whole. Our officers get out, talk to them, the residents, and they don't do that by sitting behind that patrol car. They got to get out on foot. And I think we do a good job of community policing with our agency.
Okay. Ms. Fothery?
Our officers actually do get out of their vehicles, and they do spend time in front of the people. We have a senior citizen program that we currently, we've been using for as many years as I can remember, where our deputies get out and they check on our senior citizens in our communities. We have a community outreach person, a sergeant who goes out and currently goes to all of the meetings and deals with our Safety City. We have grants that handle some of the programs in our county to get us out in front of the public more. Community policing is a very important opportunity for the Sheriff's Office to spend more time in front of the community that we serve.
Okay, Mr. Peek.
Yes, kind of simple to me. I mean, you got school resource officers is one great start, and also your regular beat cop. You know, you're going to get out there and you're going to intermingle with the people in the community. You're going to let the people in the community know that there is no reason to be afraid of law enforcement officers. Also starting at the school level with the school resource officer. That is the first start of community policing and getting the people to buy back into the police. We've lost some things. And I think that that's a great start for us to do as the regular beat cop and school resource officers.
Mr. Soltis.
I had a great fortune and opportunity to be a sergeant over community policing. And during that time, I found the value in that. I would also echo what others said, reference to schools. The youth are very important to me and to our community. Safety towns starts off safety towns, DARE programs, and the resource officers, valuable input. Senior citizens initiatives, block grants, crime watches, develop those. Intern program, continue with the intern program, develop that. Citizens academies, open houses, community forums, and police explorers. All these connect the sheriff's office with the community, which I find of value that the sheriff has a pulse of what goes on within his community.
Okay, the next question, Ron Ponder, goes to Ms. Fothery.
The sheriff's office has been plagued with budget problems for years. Could you list your priorities for funding? Would you advocate for a law enforcement related increase in the county sales tax?
Yes, I actually would advocate for a law enforcement increase in the county sales tax. We tried that a few years ago and it didn't pan out. I think it's worth reviewing again. Our budget, it's been a problem since 2009. The only way that it's going to improve is for us to find other ways to be more productive, using technology to so that we can have better use of some of our staffing. And I do think that the sheriff's office, although we have to live within the budget that we're given, I think that we have to look at what our future is going to hold. And that budget's going to have to increase. As the jail gets older, as our staff retire, and we get new staffing in, we're going to have to change and be more reflective and competitive with other law enforcement agencies.
Okay, Mr. Peek.
I'm going to ask you, please, could you repeat that question again for me?
Sure. The sheriff's office has been plagued with budget problems for years. Could you please list your priorities for funding? Okay. Then, would you advocate for a law enforcement-related increase in the county sales tax?
Okay. You know, it's a lot easier to being on the outside looking in and try to make these kind of decisions. But until you're actually the Summit County Sheriff and you're there to make the decisions on where you are going to end up doing some things, it's kind of hard to say. I've actually really thought about that in detail. And until I would actually get in the office and actually find out where everything is being spent, every dime and things like that, it's kind of hard to make a decision on that. So what I would say is if I'm elected, what I would do is I would go in and I would research and make sure that the funds that are coming from the general fund is being allocated for the people that it should be and not through the Rotary Fund. And because I think at that point in time, you will be able to have money that's needed to take care of things that need to be done.
Would you advocate for a sales tax increase?
Would I advocate for a sales tax increase? I would not. No.
Okay. Mr. Soltis?
I'll start with that so I don't forget. I would not advocate for a sales tax increase. $46 million budget with the Sheriff's Office. The Sheriff's Office works hand-in-hand with Eileen Shapiro and Brian Nelson with the Executive's Office. We identify the wants and needs of the Sheriff's Office. Working on a budget for the past 7 years with both Summit County and Stark County, I realize the importance of prioritizing what you have within the budget. Staffing would ultimately be number one. We need to staff the jail staff, patrol staff, our courts, and where else we patrol and all those other things. But I realize that, you know, things come up during the process. Going over for the past 7 years, putting priorities together, I would identify. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have to stand on my toes so much. The next question goes to Mr. Peek, and this would be from Rosalie.
Do I get the answer on this?
I'm sorry. Boy, I'm glad you guys are watching, by all means. And you can start with either part of the question.
I would advocate for the sales tax. The problem was when Sheriff Barry tried the last time, everybody wanted to latch on to that. So I would make my plea to the executive office and promote the sales tax to why we need it at the sheriff's department. I think if we make that plea and it's just the sales tax for the sheriff's department, I think we have a better chance of getting it through. Again, I would try to get the grant writers to find federal and state money that's sitting on the table. It's not easy funding what we do, but
All right, the next question is from Rosalie Murphy, and it goes to Mr. Peek.
The consent decrees that successfully integrated and diversified police departments throughout Ohio 40 years ago have largely been set aside by court decisions. What do you see taking their place to ensure a diverse workforce that reflects the community?
I don't know what's going to take their place, but I could tell you what I would do if I was, if I'm elected as Summit County Sheriff, I'm definitely going to come in and diversify Summit County Sheriff's Office as much as I possibly can. With me being an African-American in the Sheriff's Office, I see some issues with things need to be changed to a degree, and I would definitely work on diversifying Summit County Sheriff's Office and better training and things like that as much as I possibly can.
Okay. Mr. Soltis?
37 years ago when I first entered law enforcement and got hired from Dave Troutman, I realized that, at that time, diversity was not a thing that was being told of, talked about. Over the course of time, what I realized that it doesn't matter what the skin color that you have or whether you're a female or male, you work close hand in hand with one another. You do the job that you do, you roll your sleeves up, and you get the job done. With that being said, over the course of the last 7 years and administrations that I've seen, we made efforts through intern programs, going job fairs, open houses, to try to attract people of color as well as females. That's all I got.
Okay, Mr. Hunt.
I think with my plan of hiring the person first, that is going to open up a larger pool of folks that would apply. Right now, trying to pay out of your pocket or to a certain financial placement, what you're making to apply, opening it up to everybody with us paying it, I think I would get a bigger pool of people to apply, which would be, I think African-Americans, minorities of all, would then be able to want to join the department because they're earning their paycheck right now.
Okay, and Ms. Fothery?
We are enjoying a robust economy, and with that, a lot of people don't want to become law enforcement officers, and that's a nationwide problem. I thought that we sort of covered this earlier, but there's no special initiative that says that we have in place to diversify, but obviously, being a woman, I feel that we have to be a better reflection of the community that we serve. So we have to reach out into the Black, Hispanic, and new citizen communities. We have to bring quality men and women from all backgrounds, all races, and it's imperative so that we understand how to interact with one another and be a better sheriff's office.
Okay. I want to thank all four of you for answering the questions, sight unseen. And now is the period where we're going to go to the closing statements, which also will be in the same order, which means that the first closing will go to Mr. Soltis.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening to what we talked about. It's been an honor to be up here on this panel. It would be an honor to serve as your next sheriff. Over the course of my time, I've had numerous opportunities throughout the Sheriff's Office for leadership presented to me. I've always attempted to rise to that, treat people fairly, with family values in place. When I'm sheriff, I want to be connected with my troops. When they have a death in their family, I want to be there. When they have a birth in their family, I want to celebrate that. When they're injured, I want to be the first person at that hospital. I want to be that guy that they associate with running the sheriff's office, the leader at the sheriff's office. The mindset needs to be changed down through the ability to know that the leadership comes from the top and works its way down. Not that Steve Berry doesn't do that. That was not what I meant. What I mean is that I want to do what it is to make it a better environment for my troops, for my people, whether you're law enforcement or support personnel. I want the family values to be there, and I hope the family values will come back. The mindset needs to be changed.
Mr. Hunt.
My family has 103 years dating back to 1917. I'm third of four generations. I've been a deputy sheriff for better than half my life. I love this department. I lived and breathed being a deputy my entire life. I want the opportunity on March 17th to become your sheriff. I will do my very best to keep these citizens of Summit County safe. I've worked the streets for over 25 years, not sitting behind a desk. I have the heartbeat of this department. I worked almost every division, and I think I have the support of the troops. And I just want the opportunity to see what I can do. So I'm asking for your vote on March 17th to make me the next Summit County Sheriff. Thank you.
Ms. Valdery?
Thank you again for having all of us here and staying this late to listen to all of us. I think Summit County needs to have a sheriff that is a leader who has a plan and a vision and the ability to execute that plan. In addition, we are one of 50 major county sheriff's offices in the nation. And as a major sheriff's office, major county sheriff's office, you need an executive that has the training, the leadership, and the vision to continue moving us in a forward motion. I have that training. I'm the only person sitting on this panel to have attended and graduated from the FBI National Academy for Executive Leadership, spending 10 weeks in Quantico, Virginia. I am currently still employed, and I'm the only person on this panel doing so. I have a plan to address the jail with hiring a professional jail administrator, to have diversity and inclusion in our sheriff's office, and to address our inmates who suffer from mental illness and substance abuse. So I ask you very much, vote Candy Fothery for Summit, the Democratic candidate for Summit County Sheriff, and together we will focus on the future. Thank you.
And Mr. Peek?
Okay, you know what, for the last, a little over an hour, we spoke a whole lot about what's going on in the jail division and things like that, and however the jail division is a major part of the operations of the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I wanted to also pinpoint one thing. As I got on this trail to be the next sheriff, I went and I asked people, what were they looking for in their next sheriff? And they wanted a person, they wanted an individual, they wanted a sheriff that were gonna be involved in the community, and that's John Peek, because I care about what goes on. Did we ever mention tonight about gun violence? Not at all. I care about gun violence that goes on throughout our community. Did we ever talk about in detail about opioids? We talked about the opioids. Long story short, there's a lot of things that goes outside of the jail that I have a passion for, that I want to make some things that's going to be some changes in. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask for you to not only vote for me on March 17th, don't vote solely just because of a person's gender. Don't vote solely because of a person's race. Don't vote solely because of an individual as your friend. When you're in that booth, ladies and gentlemen, make your decision on who you really believe is going to be the best sheriff of Summit County and who cares about this community. Vote for John Peek, March 17th. I can show you so much better than I can ever tell you. Thank you very much, and you have a great night.
All right, now all of you have been holding off on applauding. Please absolutely do. Remember, these four people and many others have put themselves out there by running for elected office. And for all that has draws some derision in some quarters, I think it's quite a bit when somebody is that committed to their community to do that. I do ask that you tune in tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on WKSU. If some of this may have gotten by you, you can listen again. Most importantly, of course, is you can vote. You can vote right now every single day, not over and over every single day, but from now through next Tuesday with early voting at the boards of elections until next Tuesday when it'll be at your polling place. Please vote. It's really important. And thank you all very much.